Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from Easy Cater, committed to helping companies solve food. From employee meal plans to on-site staffing to concierge ordering support. With corporate accounts, nationwide restaurant coverage, and payment by invoice. EasyCater.com.
You're listening to Shortwave from NPR. I don't know how many moons I thought there were in our solar system, but it was not 158.
I mean, there are a lot of incredible moons. We made some really tough decisions.
Science writer Jennifer Lehman, in a piece for Popular Mechanics, ranked them all.
I did spend a lot of weekends at a coffee shop.
All the moons.
The baristas at that coffee shop were so kind because I would always, you know, go up, grab my coffee and then tell them a moon fact and then, like, go back to my seat.
Before any moonsplainers out there get started, we want to say at the outset that while Jennifer talked to a lot of experts, big deal planetary scientists, people at NASA, this list...
well,
is entirely subjective.
The ranking is based on moon opinions that I collected at the American Geophysical Union Conference. It's based on interviews, and really it's based on kind of which moons I thought were coolest.
Yeah.
So it is highly subjective.
I want to answer a question. It's based on my moon opinions one day. This episode, one small look at a few amazing moons... one giant leap for moonkind. I'm Betty Sofia, and this is Shortwave, the daily science podcast from NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Integrative Therapeutics, with vitamins and supplements previously available only through practitioners, including Cortisol Manager. Unlock your best self with clinician-curated supplements from Integrative Therapeutics, now on Amazon. Support for NPR and the following message come from Indeed. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Get a $75 sponsored job credit at Indeed.com/shortwave. Terms and conditions apply. This message comes from NPR sponsor Planet Oat. While some podcast topics can be complex and pretty heady, Planet Oat oat milk is an uncomplicated no-brainer. It's rich, creamy, and an excellent source of calcium with vitamins A and D. Also, Planet Oat's unsweetened varieties have 0 grams of sugar. It's great in coffee, cereal, smoothies, you name it. So next time you're at the grocery store, save the overthinking for the podcast and reach for the one that has it all. Planet Oat oat milk. Or visit planetoat.com for more.
Two small notes before we hit you with some hot moon takes. One, obviously we're not talking about all 158 moons. We picked a handful from the top 10. And then we'll do a lightning round on some others. All of these bodies meet the technical definition of a moon, meaning they orbit an asteroid or a planet, not the sun. Second note. Jennifer's list also includes a few of what NASA calls provisional moons. These are bodies that are kind of, let's say, unofficial, maybe haven't been studied that well or confirmed yet.
Yeah, and so even still, I want to add that the scientists that I spoke to, they said that there are probably way more moons out there that we haven't even discovered yet.
Wow, so cool. Okay, all right. So, number 10 on your list, Diddy Moon?
Yes.
Is that how I say it?
Yes.
Where is Diddy Moon?
So Diddy Moon, it's not circling a planet. It is actually circling an asteroid.
Cool.
It is very tiny. It's about 524 feet in diameter, and it's orbiting the asteroid Didymos.
And it's kind of part of a very cool future NASA mission, right?
Yeah, so Diddy Moon is part of a really important mission, the IDA mission. And the IDA mission is like this cosmic dress rehearsal. Basically, NASA wants to send a spacecraft to slam into Diddy Moon and knock it off course. Now, I know what you're thinking. It sounds pretty familiar. And yes, it is essentially the plot of Armageddon, but minus Steve Buscemi. But it's a really, really important mission, and it's going to help us test one of the ways that we think we might be able to potentially deflect a hazardous object that might be hurtling towards Earth.
So cool. Okay, number six, called by one expert you talked to, the most underrated moon in the solar system, orbiting Jupiter, Ganymede.
Yeah, Ganymede. Ganymede is such a fascinating world. Ganymede is the largest moon in our solar system. It's actually larger than Mercury.
Whoa.
Ganymede is also the only moon that we've known to have a magnetosphere.
Cool.
Earth has a magnetosphere, and it's essentially this covering, this kind of magnetic shell that we have of charged particles. And what it does is it actually protects us from harmful radiation. So there's tons of radiation that's generated by the sun and from interstellar space. And that magnetosphere protects us. It's potentially allowed life to form.
Can I tell you that I am horrified to report that I thought Ganymede was a made-up moon on the sci-fi show The Expanse?
Oh, yes.
On that show, they like farm on Ganymede. And I'm like, oh, that's a fun made-up place.
I love that. Shout out to The Expanse. It's a great show. Yeah, no, Ganymede is just so fascinating.
So number four on your list, orbiting Neptune, Triton.
Yeah, so Triton is an absolute misfit. First of all, I will say it looks just like a cantaloupe if you look at the pictures.
Okay, now I see why it was ranked so high. Keep going.
I mean, that is, of course, the important feature. But really, what's cool about Triton is that it's essentially this kind of Pluto-sized object that we believe has been captured by Neptune and now orbits the planet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And temperatures on Triton, and we know this thanks to the Voyager 2 spacecraft, but temperatures on Triton have dipped as low as -391 degrees Fahrenheit.
Nope,
super
nope,
cold.
Nope. No thanks. But it's partially because it's got like this ice-covered surface, right? And that reflects a ton of the light that it receives. Is that its vibe?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's another really weird thing about Triton. It has what's called an incredibly high albedo. So that's basically a measurement of how much light a body reflects. And Triton's is actually really high. It reflects about 70% of the sunlight it receives.
I'm liking Triton. I'm going to be honest with you. Ganymede's got a good run at it, but I'm liking Triton right now.
All right.
Okay. Time for the top three, Jennifer. Are you prepared?
I think so.
Okay. Bronze medal, orbiting Saturn, mm-hmm. a moon that contains the big four ingredients for life, hydrogen, carbon, nitrogen, and oxygen, Enceladus.
Yeah, so Enceladus is an absolutely fascinating moon. So the Cassini mission, when it arrived to observe Saturn's moons, it noticed that there were jets spewing out of Enceladus.
Right.
So they actually took a detour and had Cassini swing through those jets to collect samples of that liquid, and it turned out to be liquid water.
Right. I remember when that happened. That was wild. That was like a big deal.
Yes, absolutely. And so it really spurred a lot of interest in Enceladus. Of course, we love Europa, but Enceladus is really this kind of new and exciting moon. And, you know, as you mentioned, it has the big four ingredients for life. That's really just an incredible sign that this might be one of the places where we find life.
Okay. Number two on the list, orbiting Jupiter, a lot of volcanoes and some lightning, Io.
Yes. So I will admit that I have some volcanic biases. I really love volcanoes.
Thank you for disclosing that conflict of interest, Jennifer.
I have to be honest. Anyone who knows me knows that I absolutely love volcanoes. So naturally, Io, which is the most volcanically active body in our solar system, would have to take second. There are over 400 volcanoes on the surface of Io, and they spew jets of lava hundreds of miles into space. It's really incredible.
Okay, so this is the wildest thing about Io to me, is that Io can generate like an electric current?
Yeah, so of all of the Galilean moons of Jupiter, Io is actually the closest to Jupiter. And so it sweeps through its magnetic field, and that causes it to create this electric current, and it can generate as much as 3 million amperes. And actually, this jolt of electricity is then shot back to Jupiter, and it creates lightning in the planet's upper atmosphere.
I mean, that's cooler than the volcanoes.
Some people would say that, yes.
Okay. Your number one moon, Jennifer, orbiting Saturn, a moon I could walk on with potentially nothing more than an oxygen mask, Titan.
Yeah, so Titan actually is the only other place that we've observed so far that has a thick, substantial atmosphere. So our atmosphere, of course, is, you know, critical for life here on Earth. And Titan, it has a sort of similar atmosphere. It's also mostly composed of nitrogen, but the second most common gas in the atmosphere is actually methane. So
Right. So instead of, like us, having oxygen, the next most abundant compound in that moon's atmosphere, mm-hmm. in Titan's atmosphere, is methane.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you think about Earth, we have water on Earth. We have all three phases of water on Earth. So there's liquid and gas and ice. But on Titan, you have liquid methane on the surface, which is really, really incredible. It's the only other body in the solar system that we've observed to have liquid on its surface. And these are rivers and lakes and seas of methane and ethane.
Is that part of the reason why it's got this, like, orange goopy haze around the moon?
Yeah, so the ethane, the methane, those hydrocarbons, it kind of creates, it's really this, I feel like it's really beautiful. It's this kind of soft orangish glow. So it looks a little bit fuzzy, whereas other moons that don't have an atmosphere, they look very sharp. But this is very, it's a very muted moon. It's very beautiful, I think.
Yeah. So before we go, Jennifer, we had to leave out a lot of sweet moons. So we're going to do a lightning round. I'm going to mention a moon from your list, and you give us one moon fact. These are not moon pinions, but moon facts.
Perfect. That sounds great.
Okay. Number 41, Jupiter's moon, Amalthea.
Yeah. So Amalthea is actually the reddest object in our solar system, and we aren't 100% sure why.
Beautiful. Red's my favorite color. It's promoted to 31. Okay. Number 20, Jupiter's moon, Callisto.
So Callisto is thought to have the oldest surface in the entire solar system.
Pretty sweet. Okay. Number 18 and 19 combined, also Saturn moons, Atlas and Pan.
Atlas and Pan look like giant ravioli with material around their equator.
I really like that. I'm having so much fun. Okay. Number 13, one of the two moons around Mars, Phobos.
So Phobos is a giant rubble pile on track to either fling itself into Mars or split apart in orbit. Some missions have actually proposed a pit stop on the tiny moon on our way to the red planet.
Love it. Okay, number 11, Miranda, orbiting Uranus.
So Miranda is home to Verona Rupes. It's the tallest cliff in the solar system. If you fell off its edge, you would have time to read the newspaper before you hit the ground.
Okay, that's it for the lightning round. Jennifer Lehman, thank you for this massive and important scientific undertaking. I'm excited for our listeners to hear the other 84 parts of this series.
Looking forward to it.
Jennifer Lehman is more than happy to argue with you about moons, including our own, which she calls Moon Moon. Number 8, by the way, on the list. Check out her entire list for Popular Mechanics. There's a link in our episode notes. This one was produced by Brent Bachman, who we captured up like Triton. Edited by Viet Le, the planet to our many moons. And fact-checked by Emily Vaughn, who's got that old soul Callisto vibe for sure. I'm Maddie Sofia, back tomorrow with more Shortwave from NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Greenlight. Want to teach your kids financial literacy? With Greenlight, kids and teens use a debit card of their own, while parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and savings in the app. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/NPR. This message comes from NPR sponsor Capella University. With Capella's FlexPath learning format, you can earn your degree online at your own pace and get support from people who care about your success. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
On NPR's Throughline,
we cannot function for 24 hours without cobalt because it's in our smartphone, our tablet, our laptop. And as a consequence, the lives of the people living in that part of the Congo descended into just a catastrophe.
Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.